It's Helping Hand, weekly feature here, Fridays on HPR 1 stations statewide, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. We've got our growing archive of resources via our segments that we keep online. And Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, event, offering assistance to the disabled and to other folks who are among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. And this week we are learning about NAMI Hawaii. And I believe in our 2 years of doing Helping Hand, this is the first time this organization's been on National Alliance on Mental Illness Hawaii. And we're privileged to have a very special guest here in the studio, the executive director, Kumi McDonald. Hi, Kumi. Thanks for coming.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Good to be here. And I guess let's start by thinking about those in need who could be listening or their loved ones in need who your services could apply to. Who should contact you guys?
Well, mostly we service family members who are caring for those who have a serious mental illness. But we do offer general information and services for anyone who may be struggling with a mental health issue, a mental illness, or a crisis in their family. We're here to help you connect to other services. And mostly, though, we do receive phone calls from the family or loved one.
Well, that's good to know. That paints a picture of who should be thinking about reaching out to you. And they're reaching out to you at a point of crisis. They're reaching out to you of just general concern. Is there a phase in the situation relating to their loved one that you generally start hearing from people?
It's oftentimes we hear, my son is on your island. He's mentally ill. He's homeless. He has nowhere to go. He has no services. What do I do? Or oftentimes my son or daughter is not talking to me and they have mental illness. It's getting worse. What do I do? Sometimes it's I'm in a crisis. I'm feeling very depressed. How do I get services?
Wow. So interesting. Your very first thing that you mentioned, and I don't know if that identifies it as a percentage of how much of the calls you get or reach outs you get from people. But if you can try to quantify it, when it comes to people who have a loved one who's not from the state, who's now here and in crisis, is that how much of your work is that?
We do get a lot of phone calls.
Quarter, hard to say.
Maybe a quarter?
A quarter of all your calls are, yes. And that's frightening. They love their relative, and their relative's real far away, and they know they're here, but they don't know much more.
Is that... Exactly, and they're trying to find out how they can find that person. Oftentimes, this person is calling their family member in the mainland off of a payphone, and they know that it's somewhere on this island or somewhere in Maui, and they're trying to figure out what they can do
to help them. Mm-hmm. And you say Maui, just dialing back a couple notches, statewide for you guys?
We do provide services statewide, but we do have affiliates on Maui, Kauai, and the Big Island.
Okay. And that would be, or do they operate under separate names or something?
They can contact me at NAMI Hawaii.
Okay. And then you set them up.
Yes, we can connect them.
I got it. Okay. That's good to know. And then, so staying in this dialed back perspective, we heard a little bit about one quarter, basically, it seems, just roughly, of the folks that you help would be people who have ended up here in crisis from elsewhere and their loved ones trying to help them. For the other 75% of the folks that you, roughly that you're helping, kind of go through, let's revisit that again. Who are they typically?
Oftentimes it's the family member. Oftentimes it's the mother or the father who is dealing with a grown or maybe a young adult person who's been diagnosed with a mental illness for the first time, and they're in crisis. They don't know what to do. What do I do from here? And oftentimes doctors or clinicians will say, hey, there's NAMI. We have a education class. We also have family support groups. So we provide the support and education for the family members.
So among the sources of ways that people hear about you, you're getting referrals from physicians because maybe people call or talk to their own doctor. Hey, my son, I have, you know, my daughter, I'm really worried about them. They're in trouble. And then that doctor, you tell me if I have this right. And then the doctor says, yeah, NAMI is who, you know, one source you can talk to.
Yeah. So there are some well-resourced and educated clinicians and doctors, but there are many who have never heard of NAMI.
So this is good to get the word
out. Yes. And so sometimes people just do a search and they put mental illness Hawaii, and we're one of the first to pop up on their search, or sometimes they link to the national website because NAMI is a national organization.
Right.
And so they might have heard from another friend in California, or this morning was Virginia. Somebody called and said a NAMI friend in, told them to call me.
And before we think back and dial back in on services, but just it made me think of it because it is a national organization. How do you guys get your funding?
Our funding is by donations. Major donations come from our charity walk that we have once a year, NAMI Walks Hawaii, which is will be held on October 9th, 2016. We hold that annually at the Honolulu Hale, and it's a big event to bring awareness. We want people to bring awareness and break the stigma of mental illness.
More than fundraising, it's an awareness.
It's also awareness. Also fundraising,
it's kind of 50-50.
Because a fundraising really does help keep all of our operations for our programs free of charge. And then we do get some grants and some private donations.
So we talked about people from the mainland and their loved ones reaching out to you. That's like a quarter of folks. And in the other general population, there's about 75% of the folks. It seems to be led by loved ones again or family members dialing in. But wait. For people who don't have so much of those resources around them, do you get calls from individuals who, I'm in crisis, I need help, or is that not? You do?
Yes, we do. We often get people calling who are struggling with depression, and they don't know what the, you look on the internet and they say, oh, go find a psychiatrist. They're like, how do I find a psychiatrist? What's the first step? Do I need to go to the emergency room, or do I just need to see my regular general practitioner? So they're clueless to how to get the mental health services that they need.
And then, okay, great. You set it up so well. Let's walk us through that. Someone calls. They have the same circumstances you just eloquently described. Yes. What will happen?
Well, it depends on each person. And we are not clinicians. We are not mental health professionals, but we do link them up to the right, try to link them up the best we can to the right resources. Oftentimes it's Crisis Line, the Department of Health. Sometimes it is 911. We ask them to hang up and call 911 right away. Sometimes it's, recent case was somebody was depressed, but they weren't in a crisis. So then I asked them, do you have a primary care physician that you can see? Take that first step, or go to Queens Medical Center or Castle Medical Center and just go in and let them know what's going on with your health. And you can begin the process of your recovery there.
That's the hardest thing, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, because those aren't even, those are hard things. If somebody told me on the phone that, I don't know, I'd be inspired to do any of that just because I live in the city. So I've had to call 911 unfortunately, since living here, quite a bit more than living in Boston. But there's always something happening out there, and you feel compelled. I can't let this happen to that person without. And when you get, it's a wake up call sometimes when you call 911. It isn't that easy necessarily to get things moving. So I sympathize with the people in need. And if I was told that was who I should call, that's a tough one. Or showing up at Queens, where I've shown up too with an injury. And it's quite a scene down there, depending on what time you show up, what day, what hour. I guess it sheds a light on the severity of the issue.
And oftentimes these people who are calling, they are isolated and they are alone. So another encouragement is you really need the support of your family. Do you have someone to talk to? Do you have a friend? And we always want to be aware of that they're not alone. There are people out there to help them. And sometimes they call us back because they feel comfortable, and they'll call me back and give me progress reports.
Are you a 24-hour resource?
No, we are not. We are very limited in our hours because we are donation run. So I am only there part-time. But if you leave a message, if you email us, I respond personally to every single call and email. To the best of my ability.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You guys have some, at your site, I saw there are 12 session family-to-family programs,
yes,
both in the Honolulu area and it appeared across the state, as well as a 12-week education program and information about support groups. If you could speak to each of those,
yes,
and other programs or services that you'd like to share.
Well, the 12-week education course is one course, and it's a 12-week session course. It is for family and loved ones of those who care for someone with mental illness. So it could be like, for instance, if you had a person who had depression in your family and you're caring for that person, or if you have somebody with schizophrenia, maybe your spouse or your partner, those people who feel isolated and helpless. So they'll sign up for this class. In this class, it is a volunteer taught class. So these teachers are very well trained and certified, but they're all non-paid volunteers, and they'll teach 2.5 hour classes every week for a 12-week session. You do need to register.
And it's to learn how mm-hmm. to deal with your relative in crisis better.
Exactly. It teaches you skills like how to communicate with your loved mm-hmm. one, how to get them to get help. What do you do to, better prepare yourself for a next episode? How do you talk to the doctors? How do you learn about medication? Just general overview of mental illness, but also tools.
Very useful, mm-hmm. sounds like.
Yes, very useful.
I'm impressed with
that. And then we have support groups. Family support groups are all around the state, and you can find the information on our website, namihawaii.org. And we have these support groups that meet around. Again, they're all volunteer-led. They're trained support group facilitators. And it's a time where people can come and hear other families' stories and challenges, how they resolve the issues, and they can come and share their own struggles and their own stories. And we also have a Women on Wellness support group, which is our peer-led support group for other people who struggle with mental health issues or mental illnesses, but general mental healthiness.
Just for females?
Females only, and it's called Women on Wellness.
And that's a length of time, ongoing? How does that work?
So all of our support groups meet various parts of the island. They meet once a month. So there's one that meets on East Honolulu once a month. There's Pearl City. There's Wahiawa. We have one in Manoa and one on Kauai, Maui, Big Island, and so forth.
You've mm-hmm. got a lot of reach there.
Yes.
I see the word advocacy on your front page, and that's an important element in helping hand the segment that we do. Can you tell me how you guys work in that way to help folks in crisis?
So NAMI is here to advocate for the people who can't speak up for themselves, to help change the way legislation and the laws are written, because oftentimes the people who are in need of health services, mental health services, there is this law that prevents family members from intervening. You know, I'm not really good. I don't really understand all about the laws, but, you know, it's a civil liberty type of issue. And so oftentimes somebody who is in deep, deep despair and need, the family members can't get them to see a doctor because
there's some legal precedent or thing in place
saying that the person who's struggling with this mental illness needs to say, "I need help,"
before intervention can come in.
And so we're trying to work with.
So it's less on a personal advocacy per situation and more advocacy to legislators.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So individuals who are in crisis and need an advocate to stick up for their particular issue, not what you guys do.
We can refer them to other agencies.
Okay,
yes. So we do get some calls about that.
And you are a source to get to refer people to someone who does.
Yes,
who can
absolutely.
Help with that. Okay. That's good to know. Any fees?
All of our programs are run free of charge to everyone, and we do even provide Speakers Bureau, which schools, community agencies, and we've been to certain business lunches and we've held conferences where we have professionals and lay people who have personal experience as a family member or who have an actual mental illness and is on the journey of recovery will go and speak. And we do this, we do provide this free of charge. And so we have gone to many churches and workplaces to speak about mental health, mental illness, and our services. We also have mental health first aid that we've provided, which is something that's been promoted through the White House. And just it's just like CPR, but regarding mental illness. What do you do as a first responder? What do you do? How do you identify a mental health issue or crisis? And what are the appropriate responses? So that mental health first aid course is often charged across the state, a pretty hefty fee to take that course. But NAMI Hawaii has provided that course free of charge through a grant. Hopefully we will get more funding and the donations we get will help run these programs.
Mental health first aid.
Yes.
And you offer it free.
Yes.
Where others charge.
Right now we're not having a class right away because funding is limited, but we would
How
like to offer that. So we've offered it so far 3 times in 2014 and then once this year. And then hopefully in 2016, we'll be able to offer it.
And how long of a thing is that? Weeks?
That is a one-day.
A one-day seminar.
It's a
one-day
intensive, yes, all day.
All day kind of deal. Mm-hmm. On the note of trying to help you with these endeavors, which you've illustrated, and each one of them, no doubt you can understand that there has to be a lot of commitment, support, whether it's contributions, donations to you, you know, people who want to volunteer in a variety of capacities to work towards helping you guys out. It could be specific skills, items at your office. It could be leaky roof, lawyer. You know best what it is that you need. New office space. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the floor. Tell us what we can do to help.
Well, we do really appreciate everyone's. You can become a member of NAMI. Members have benefits of accessing services on our national website and national newsletters and various resources. So membership always helps.
So you're paying to be a member of
You
NAMI.
Pay to be a member. It's $35, but we do have an open doors, low income for $3. So membership really helps.
And none of that is required for service. That's just
none
for
of that
who
is required for service.
This is just
yes.
to help the organization.
But we do have general donations really help, especially this year end, and that will help run our office. Again, I'm only part-time. I'm the only paid staff. And so we really need to bring better awareness. We do need to just have more resources available and provide more services. Because right now, my biggest problem is there are too many opportunities. That's a good problem to have because everybody needs help. Mm. Everybody's asking for services from us, but we have to be very limited in our resources because
you can't provide it to everyone.
Yes, that's the biggest struggle.
Of the of all the folks that you are helping, is there a percentage of them roughly that are homeless?
We don't directly service people who are homeless.
Okay.
However, what we have done is we help family members who are on the verge of sending someone out to be homeless. And they're saying, oftentimes we get this call, I'm going to kick my son out. What do I do? I'm at the breaking point.
Right.
So we often intervene in that area and provide support and education. We've also had our first conference this past year called Mental Illness, A Compassionate Response. And that was, how do we as a community member, a church member, a business leader, a family member, how do we have a compassionate response? And we did partner with various people in the community. We had two clinicians who came and spoke for that event. And so we do provide awareness and education.
All right. Well, no doubt that all of these resources do cost to keep it together.
Yeah.
And it's an impressive allotment of material, considering one part-time employee.
Yes.
So you have a lot to be proud of. And it's a big struggle. I can see that.
Well, I'm just very grateful because it is a passion of mine because, you know, mental illness is something that's very dear to me. You know, as a recovering person with depression, having family members who have struggled with mental illness, and it's a passion that runs from my heart. So I'm very grateful to be able to serve in this capacity.
It's neat when you can do any good in this world, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a different kind of feeling.
It is.
And I know exactly what you're talking about when you say something like that. NAMI Hawaii. You can call it NAMI if you want. There's no pronunciation rule. I learned from Kumi today. And that's NAMIHawaii.org. NAMIHawaii.org. That's their website. And all the information we've been talking about and a lot more is waiting there. 808-591-1297. And you can use that both if you're looking to get help for a loved one or yourself, or if you want to offer them support in one of the capacities we were discussing, which they would be grateful for. info@namihawaii.org if making an email inquiry for any of the same reasons would be more convenient for you. You can look for them on Facebook and also look for them at hawaiipublicradio.org, where you can find all this contact information, and it's all laid out there, very easy for you to get it there, so you don't have to jot it down right now. And you can find all of our other Helping Hand guests and the full-length interview. So all the resources are waiting for you. Anything that we need to get in there or discuss that I somehow, forgive me for over-citing, if that's a term?
Well, one last thing is that on our website, namihawaii.org, we do have information about a matching grant, a fund that's happening right now with the Sony Open. Hmm. And I know some of you may have seen the commercials for the Sony Open giving campaign. So if you'd like information on that,
that's good through when? Is there a date?
That's good through January. I can't give you a specific date, but yeah.
Okay.
That would really help.
It's fantastic.
And then also look for our walk October 9th, 2016 at Honolulu Hale, where we bring awareness and we also do some fundraising, and it's a fun day.
Any other fundraisers before that we need to know about?
Those are the two main ones, yes.
Executive Director, Mental Illness Hawaii, National Alliance on Mental Illness Hawaii, NAMI Hawaii, and it's Kumi McDonald. Doors always open. Really a privilege to get to have you on Helping Hand and support what you guys do. And thanks for being a positive element out there in the community where needed.
Thank you, Dave.